The Gemara presents three different opinions about what differentiates the process of Hagala, which is used to extract taste particles from Kelim, from the process of Mariko Shtifa, which is used to extract taste particles of Kachim, taste particles that come from a carbon, from Kelim. The Gemara gives three different opinions. We'll say them out of order, maybe in reverse order. Number one, it could be that Mariko Shtifa involves additional rinsing processes, whereas Hagala only requires cold water. Hagala only requires hot water. Mariko Shtifa requires hot water and cold water twice, or hot water and cold water once. That's one opinion. The second opinion is that whereas Hagala can be performed with any liquid, be it water or wine, Mariko Shtifa can only be performed with water. And the third opinion, the one that we want to focus on right now, is the opinion which, according to arguers of the Gemara, is expressed by Abaye, and therefore can only be accepted against the opinion of Rava if Rava agrees with it. Although, according to the Shita Mekubetzes' Girsa of the Gemara, the opinion that we're about to present is actually Rava's opinion and is controlling whether or not Abaye agrees or argues. And this third opinion about what differentiates Hagala from Mariko Shtifa is that Hagala suffices as long as you rinse with boiling water the particular area of a kli that absorbed the taste particles from something which is treif, something which is not allowed to be eaten. As long as you cleanse the area of the kli that came into contact with that type of food, then the kli reverts to its kosher status. In contrast, by kodshim, which requires Mariko Shtifa, it's insufficient if you simply cleanse the area of the kli that came into contact with the carbon, but instead you have to cleanse the entire kli. This was the opinion that is attributed either to Abaye or to Rava about what differentiates Hagala from Mariko Shtifa. And there's actually a machlokas Rishonim when it comes to the Aradeya, about whether we say Cham Miktase Cham Kulay. Some background: the Gemara says in Psachim, the Pasuk already tells us that a Karban Pesach must be Sli Eish, it must be roasted by a fire, can't be roasted by anything else. So that's why the Gemara says we put the Karban Pesach on a wooden spit and we roast it over a fire. Why can't we use a metal spit? The Gemara explains that if we used a metal spit, it would no longer be a Tzli Eish carbon. Instead, the carbon would be Tzli metal. The same way as if you put the carbon inside of a boiling hot metal pot. So it would be roasted, but not by the fire. It would be roasted by the pot partially. So too, when the carbon is on a metal spit, it's not being roasted solely by the fire, it's being roasted also by the spit. And this is true even though the only parts of the spit which are exposed to the flame are the parts which are not covered by the carbon. The center of the spit is in the center of the animal. That's how you roast it. So the only parts that are not covered by the animal are the parts of the spit which are outside. Nevertheless, we say that the heat which touches the outside parts of the spit of metal is sufficient to heat up the inner parts, the parts which are not directly exposed to the fire, to the extent where they're capable of roasting the carbon. This is the concept known as Cham Miktasei Cham Kulay, that even the inner parts of the spit are heated because the outer parts are heated to the point where they're capable of roasting the carbon. In some Rishonim, I think most notably Rabbeinu Peretz, apply this concept to Yeridea. They tell us that if, let's say, a kli, if some sort of a vessel is half hot and half cold, and the hot part touches something which is treif, we have to assume that the taste particles extend not only to the parts of the kli which are hot, but also to the parts of the kli which are cold, and therefore it's insufficient to simply perform Hagalah on the part of the vessel which was hat, which touched the treif, you have to do Hagalah on the whole vessel. And some Achronim point out that this opinion of Rabbeinu Peretz works best with the Shita Mekubetes as Girtza, that it's really Rava who says, with our Girtza, it's Abaye who says that Truma does not need a Hagalah in everything. Truma suffices with Hagalah just of the place which touched the Truma. It's the Afka by Kachim where you need to be Magil everything. So if it's Abaye who expresses this opinion, then conceivably Rava could argue. Rava could say that no, the true chiluk, the true differentiation, the distinction between Hagalah and Riku Shifa is that Hagalah can suffice with wine. Riku Shifa needs water. But in terms of the area which must be rinsed, that's the same both for Hagalah and Riku Shifa. Just like we find by Riku Shifa that the entire kli needs to be rinsed, even if only a tiny bit of the kli touched the carbon, so too by Hagalah, even if only a tiny bit of the kli touched the truma, or touched the ma'achal ha'as, or touched the treif, still the entire kli requires Hagalah, and this would fit with the opinion of Taisus Rabbeinu Peretz. However, that is not all. The Gemara earlier presented a dialogue between Rav Yehuda and Rami Bar Chama, wherein Rami Bar Chama maintained that even by Kajim, even by Chataos, you don't require Mariko Shtifa by the entire Kli. All you need to do is to rinse the part of the Kli which touched the Chatos. Rami Bar Chama's Svara was that we learn this out from the Beged, because there's a Beferish or Riboy in the Pasuk that the Gemara mentioned earlier in the Parak, that says that when dam chatas, blood from a chatas, splashed onto a beged, you don't have to rinse the entire beged, you don't have to launder the entire beged, but rather, you can suffice by laundering the parts of the beged which absorb the blood. Said Rami Bar Chama, the same should hold true of Mariko Shtifa by a kli. If taste particles from a chatas got absorbed into a kli, so you shouldn't need to do Mariko Shtifa on the entire Kli. It should be sufficient to do Mariko Shtifa even on only the part of the Kli which absorbed those taste particles. This is the opinion of Rami Bar Chama. And Rabbi Yehuda quoted a Braisa, which said opposite, quoted a Braisa, which said that you do need to do Mariko Shtifa on the entire Kli. And he gave the following differentiation, the distinction between a beged which absorbed blood from a chatas and a kli which absorbed taste from a carbon. He explained that blood from a chatas is not mifapea, it doesn't spread, but taste from a chatas, it spreads. So therefore, the blood, you can be assured that it remains in the place where it fell. It didn't spread further, and if it spread further, you would know, you would be able to tell, you would just see how far the stain spread. As opposed to taste particles are a more abstract entity. It's much harder to measure them, much harder to perceive them with our senses, and therefore they're mifapea, and we don't know how far they're mifapea, we don't know how far they spread, and therefore you have to do Mariko Shtifa on the entire kli. Now Tosos has the following kasha. Tosos wants to know, what type of a kli are we talking about? Are we talking about a kli which is kulay cham, which is entirely hat? Says Tosos, if that's the case, then I can understand this distinction between by a kli it's mifapea, by a beged the dam is not mifapea, because when the entire kli is heated, meaning not that we assume that part of it is heated and therefore we treat it as if it's all heated, when the entire kli is heated, so then I understand that the tam is mifapea in all of the parts which are hat. But, asks Tosfos, if only half the kli is hat and half the kli is cold, so then, says Tosfos, I don't understand how we can say it's mifapea. Just like by the beged, the clothing, which absorbed the dam chatos, we know that part of this beged did not get any dam chatos, and that part of the beged does not need any laundering. So too, in this case, where we have a kli, and part of it is hat, part of it is cold, even though we know, or we're not sure whether you know, how far the taste of the carbon spread in the parts which were hot, but we're positive that the taste could not have spread to the parts which were cold. Now, this kasha of Tosfos is based on, clearly against Rabino Peretz, unlike the dominant shita, that we don't say chametz asur cham kulo. Now, Rabino Peretz might explain the following. Again, Tosfos' kasha was, how can the Gemara say that you need Mariko Shtifa on the entire kli? How can the Braisa even say this if half the kli is cold and we know that the Tam HaChatos never was Mifapeya, never spread to the cold part of the kli? Tosfos seems to say that if half the kli was cold, so then that cold part of the kli Taka does not need Mariko Shtifa. Rabino Peretz, who says Chamech Tasso Cham Kulo, how is he going to explain why the cold part of the kli also needs Mariko Shtifa? So I think that the answer is as follows. That the Vart by Mariko Shtifa, maybe even by Chulin, which absorbed Tam from Treif, is not a function of where the taste particles go, but rather it's a function of viewing the kli as one indivisible, inseparable entity. And whatever status we apply to part of the kli, we're going to apply to the whole kli. That's going to be the rationale that lies behind it. And for sure, according to Rava, who's going to tell us, Lefi Rabbeinu Peretz, that Chulin and Kodshim have the same din, that they need the entire kli to be... they need the entire kli to be washed, whether with Mariko Shtifa or with Hagala. So this is going to be the halacha, that even though we're guaranteed that the taste was not mifapeya beyond the threshold between hot and cold, nevertheless, because the entire kli is an indivisible entity, so therefore you need to do Hagala on the entire thing. That's going to be the svara for Rava, according to Rabbeinu Peretz. And even if you hold like Abaye, according to Rabbeinu Peretz, namely that we differentiate and we say that by Kodshim you need Mariko Shtifa on the entire thing, but by Chulin you do not need Mariko Shtifa on the entire thing. And this is also the opinion of most Rishonim, who say that Chamek Tzasai Loi Cham Kuloi, that part of it can be hot, part of it can be cold. We don't learn out from the Gemara and Pesachim about roasting the Pesach, just because the outside of the spit is cold, the inside is hot, the inside also has to become hot. So they're going to explain that pshat is that by Kodshim, because of the Chumrah of Kodshim, we're going to view the entire kli sharis, in which, or the entire kli in which the chatas was cooked, as a single entity to require Mariko Shtifa. But by Chulin, we're not going to view the entire kli as a single entity, we'll view it as two separate entities. And hence, you know, each individual molecule, each individual segment of the kli is viewed as its own entity, and therefore only those segments which certainly absorbed taste from treif require hagala, but those segments which certainly did not absorb taste from treif, just like the segments of a beged which certainly did not absorb blood from the chatas, did not require any form of cleansing.